Well, I'd like to welcome you to this session of talking about the relationship between being ordained and evangelism, or as we like to call it in this course, evangel living. It's a great thing to be ordained and to be set apart for special service for our Lord. And as we begin our studies together, I'd like to open with a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you promised that you would set leaders in your church to guide them in the way that you want them to go. And as we study this material together, we are grateful that you have chosen us to be part of that leadership team. Help us to understand the materials that you set before us that come directly from your word, the Bible. We love you. Amen. Well, I'm going to be talking in this first session about keeping the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing in the church is found in the words that Jesus spoke just before he left this earth when he said, make disciples. That's the work the church is to do. And so as we go on with that material, I want to point out to you that there are going to be about 7 points that I would like you to make. The first is you are ordained because of your ability. Notice what it says here in those verses. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are well known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And I want to point out right from the beginning here that in being ordained, that doesn't change you. That doesn't give you an ability that you didn't have before. It doesn't convey anything to you. What being ordained means is just being set apart to use the abilities that you already have through the Holy Spirit. In the word ordained, you can hear the word order. And it means really to set the church in order. Because Jesus promised that in the church there would be leaders, there would be teachers, and so to acknowledge them is to set things in order. Ordained means that you are being set apart for the work you have been called to do. Another verse we could look at is Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What we are pointing out here is that you are being set apart for the work to which God has called you, and you're being set apart because of your ability. That's a wonderful thing, and it's exciting, and it's so fulfilling to know that Jesus has his eye on you. And at this point in your life, after the training that you have gone through and after the way you have prepared yourself in reference to your abilities, that now you are being set apart to use those abilities in a full sense in the Church of Jesus Christ. The second thing we want to notice here is that you are ordained to lead people of ability. That's very important to remember. We are not set apart in the church because we're the only ones who have ability. We're not being set apart because all those other people don't have much to offer. You and I, as leaders, are set apart to lead other people who also have great abilities. For example, in 1 John 2, verse 27, John writes to the young church there and says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. He actually goes to the point here of saying that in a sense, the people in the church don't need anyone to teach them. They already know the basics. They have received Christ through faith. They have been forgiven. They are ready to live for him. And yet, Christ himself set up teachers to teach these very people who have received his Spirit. Because to certain ones, he has given a special kind of ability to be a teacher, to be a leader, and they are ordained, set apart, to lead others who also have great ability. Another verse that we look at is in Ephesians 4:11-12. We read there that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to prepare God's people. A lot of times we think that the leaders, those who are set apart, those who are ordained, are the ones who know it all, are the ones who can do it all, are the ones who have the ability, and the others in the body, well, they really don't have much ability. But here again, we're pointed out that those who are ordained, who have been set apart, they are not the ones who do it all. They have been set up as teachers, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors, in order to lead people who themselves have ability. A big part of your work as an ordained person is to train people who already have ability. Maybe there's someone in church who is able to sing. That doesn't mean you have to be the best one who can sing. Maybe there's one who has great organizational ability. It doesn't mean that you have to organize everything. Sometimes we leaders think we have to be the best of everything. That doesn't mean that that's not what ordination means. It means that we are set apart to lead others to use their gifts. Now, the third thing that we have to remember when we look at the Bible and what it teaches about ordination is that people who are ordained are held to a higher standard. This is so important. Some time ago, there was a great police scandal in one of the major cities in our country. And the commissioner of the police got rid of many of the policemen because he said, "You men, because of your position, are held to a higher standard. You are entrusted to enforce the law. And when you yourself break the law, then you are letting all sorts of people down." And that's the way it is with ordination. You and I, by being ordained, by being set apart in the Church of Jesus Christ, are held to a higher standard. Just look what it says in Acts 20:28. Paul there is talking to some of the leaders in the church. He says to them, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." But what is the first thing he says before he talks about taking care of the flock and about being shepherds? He says those who have been ordained, those who have been set aside, are to keep watch over themselves. Are you ready to do that? Has Satan already tempted you into thinking that because you've been ordained, you're someone special? Has Satan already tempted you into thinking that because you are ordained, you can have a different approach to obedience and a different approach to being very careful to obey Christ in all that he has said? Has Satan already begun to tempt you that you're in a class all by yourself and you can live by different rules? That certainly isn't why you've been set apart. And that certainly isn't the teaching of Scripture. You've been set apart. You've been called. You've been ordained to lead those who also have ability. But the first thing you have to remember is to keep watch over yourself. The idea of keeping watch there in the Bible is the idea of guarding. It's a word that is used for guards in a prison or guards in the military. And that's the kind of hard work that you have to do in your own life to be a guard over every area of your life so that there's nothing different between what Christ says and between what you say. There is no extra space. There is to be no distance between you as an ordained leader and Christ as the head of the church. That's so important to remember that. Keep watch means keep on keeping watch. Don't let it down one moment, because Satan is after you. He goes after leaders in a very special way, because if he can get you to fall, he can get the followers to fall. If he can get the mother sheep to go astray, the little sheep will follow after them. And he says to us, take care of the flock. Those are Jesus' shepherds, Jesus' sheep. He says, be a shepherd of the church. And you know why it's so crucial? Because it's just not an ordinary organization. It's the group of people that Jesus bought with his own precious blood. There's another verse that speaks to us just the same. Look what James says. Very sobering words. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We as ordained people are held to a higher standard. If we think we can cut corners, God notices. Jesus, the head of the church, notices. The Holy Spirit who called us to this position notices. That's why he warns us and he says, make sure before you want to be ordained that your life is in order. Watch over your life. Look at every corner and say, I'm going to become a teacher. I'm going to be set apart. And I know I'm going to be held to a higher standard. Then there's another point that we want to make, and that is ordained people are called to a difficult work. Are you ready for that? Are you thinking about it? Have you considered that? That this is just not something that you're going to do by yourself. This isn't something that you're just going to add to your life. But you listen to what he says in 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul says, watch your life and doctrine closely. That's what we've just been talking about. Others are watching you. And then this, persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Just think of the responsibility that is placed on you. That you have to persevere. You have to hold tight. You have to refuse to give up your life and your doctrine. Because when you watch over them, you will have an influence on your own life. You will continue in the faith, but you will also influence your hearers. He also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I don't think anybody ever thinks that it's fun to be a soldier. A soldier deals with war, and war is awful. You and I are in a war against Satan and all his followers. It's a hard job. Both outside of the homes and inside of the homes. Both outside of work and in work. Outside of school and in school. People are always being tempted. Those people who are so gifted, Satan is tempting them so they won't use their ability for him. You and I, day and night, Paul says, are to take care of those people who are placed under our care. It's a difficult work, a work that Jesus calls us to. Then there's another point that we want to make, and that is ordained people are open to misunderstanding. Every time you stand up front, every time you lead, there are going to be those who don't want to follow. There'll be those who don't understand what you are saying or where you want to go. There'll be those who do that because they really don't catch it. And there'll be those who resent you as a leader who are going to misunderstand you purposely. It happened to Jesus. It will happen to you. Look at the words in Matthew 11, 18 and 19. Jesus is talking here, and he's talking about John the Baptizer. And John lived a very close life. John lived out in the desert. He ate strange food. He dressed strangely. He had a message from God. He was sort of like an Old Testament prophet. And Jesus said, you know, James came. He didn't eat the way we did. He didn't drink the things we did. And people said about him, he's got a devil. And then the Son of Man, and the Son of Man is Jesus' favorite name for himself. He always called himself the Son of Man, meaning, I'm really one of you. And he said, I, or the Son of Man, came eating and drinking. And then they say, oh, he eats too much. He drinks too much. He makes friends with people who eat too much and who drink too much. So there are going to be people who misunderstand you. And a lot of people who are set apart, a lot of people who are ordained, step back. They give up. They quit because it's such hard work. You're going to be misunderstood, but you're called to it. Then there's another point that we want to make. And that is that by being ordained, your life's goal is to pursue Jesus' goal. What could be better than that? Your life's goal is to pursue Jesus' goal, to follow after him. Jesus came as the head of the church. He's leading the church. He loves his church. And what was his goal for the church? We started out by saying the connection between being ordained and being a leader in evangel living. The connection in being called to lead God's people and to lead them in the direction of bringing others to him. If we are supposed to pursue Jesus' goal, to follow after him, then what did he have to say about it? In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man, there's his name again, his favorite name for himself, I'm one of you. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save lost people. Can I ask you that question? Why did Jesus come? He came to bring unsaved people into salvation. He came to bring lost people back home. He came to get wandering sheep and bring them into the field. Look at in Acts 6, verse 8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. You know what's interesting about that? That Stephen was ordained to be a deacon. And he didn't sit in his house and say, oh, well, that's not my work to go out and win the lost. He himself did it. The same with Philip. He was ordained in the church to be a deacon. And what does it say? With that very passage of Scripture, he told the man the good news about Jesus. That was their life because they had been ordained to be like Jesus. There's another thing that we want to notice about being ordained, and that is, ordained people strive for excellence. If you're not ready now to give your best for him, if you're the kind of person now who says, oh, well, anything goes. I don't have to be prepared as well. I don't have to have a life that looks this way. If you are inclined to give anything less than the very best you can give day after day after day, then please, step back for a while and think about it. You and I, as representatives of Jesus Christ, we strive for excellence. Look what the verse says, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is our life. Everything we do is for him. And because God is the greatest, and his Son is the true God, we give our best as ordained persons to him. This is all very difficult work, but we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Thank you very much.